It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, June 19th. I'm Adrienne Hill, sitting in for Ben Johnson. Perhaps you've seen pictures of Apple's new campus in Cupertino, a glistening glass ring, futuristic, elegant, in a spaceship sort of way. The reported price tag is in the neighborhood of $5 billion. 12,000 Apple employees will work there, coming up with what Apple hopes will be the next big thing in tech. Lord Norman Foster is one of the lead architects on the project. We caught up with him at the Wire Business Conference, and I asked him how the design came to be.
Well, it started with a phone call with Steve Jobs and a meeting shortly afterwards in Cupertino. And really it was working with Steve and realizing his vision.
What do you hope that building evokes for people who both work there and who visit the space?
A good place to be, a productive space to be, and not just a building, but a landscape, and the two conceived together, interacting one with the other.
Are there features of that building that you're really fond of?
In its previous life, that site had 26 buildings, very, very little landscape, 20% landscape, and that's all those buildings have essentially been scrunched up into one building, so everybody's under one roof, which is just great for communication and interaction. And that 20% of green landscape has expanded into 80%.
Why was the landscape such an important part of this design for you and Steve Jobs?
Once Steve had acquired the adjoining site and the scale was that much larger, we're talking about over 170 acres, there was the opportunity to create something that would really work as part of the lifestyle of everybody who would use the building, with nature trails and the opportunities for groups to gather together and really an extension of the workplace.
You talk about architecture being a force for good, and I wonder if you could elaborate on that for me.
The quality of design, whether it's the building that we work in, whether it's the museum that we visit, whether it's the public square or the street, is influenced by it. So if the quality of that is higher, then the quality of our lives is going to be higher. If the workplace offers a lifestyle which makes us want to go there, then we'll be drawn in that direction.
Architect Lord Norman Foster, thanks so much.
Not at all. Thank you.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is here because these days it's essential to have an independent source explaining how the economy really works, not just for CEOs, but for everyone. Your support keeps this kind of reporting coming, and it's especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. Visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us in your world every day. And thanks.
Well-designed workplaces can be more than pleasant places to go. There's research showing they can actually make people more productive. Ben Waber is CEO of Humanize. He studies behavior and workplace design. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
It seems like a lot of tech companies have workspaces with a similar design aesthetic. You think of these big open spaces, communal areas, some cool stuff going on. Why is that?
Well, I think obviously there's a certain amount of copycatting going on, but at the same time, there's this idea that more collaboration is better. We want people to bump into each other really randomly, sort of try to create serendipitous interactions, things that we couldn't plan even just within the regular office, but then really all throughout all the time we spend at work, can we create these chance encounters where actually a lot of the really great ideas actually start.
Which is counterintuitive a little bit, because if I'm walking around just making conversation with folks about nothing in particular, I'm not at my desk working. So how does that work?
I think this is the tension, especially in the U.S., around the definition of performance. We like to think of performance as it's the number of emails I write or the amount of reports that I complete. But actually, the vast majority of work that we do is extremely collaborative, right? I mean, your work depends on the work of dozens or maybe hundreds of people. And it's really that output that we care about. Hmm. If you spend 6 hours a day at the water cooler, but you make 20 people you work with 10% more effective. Now, that should be your job. The difference is that, you know, now we're starting to be able to quantify that through the use of, you know, email, meeting, chat data, as well as increasingly sensor data about the real world.
Based on the research and the data that we do have, what do you think a next generation tech office space should look like?
The type of work that the vast majority of us do is constantly changing. While this week I may need to have a lot of focus work time, so, you know, really have time to myself, the next week I might need to work more with a project team. And I think that increasingly you're going to see companies that not just have a flexible approach in terms of internally how their spaces are configured, but increasingly one where data and sort of machine learning and artificial intelligence are going to be brought to bear to help people and organizations make much more effective use of that space.
Ben Waber, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tell us about your workspace. Does it work for you? How would you change it? Our digital reporter, Jana Kasperkevich, asked New Yorkers those questions.
Like I have a big window glass and I can see the nature, you know, have like a beautiful leather couch where I can relax.
There's a lot of people and not enough desks, so definitely make it bigger.
We're looking at adding games and stuff to our office, so we've got a bit of a social area.
Is there a perfect office? It's an office. You go there to do your work, you know?
We've got more over on our website, marketplace.org. We're on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is 8 p.m.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.